Our bulletin gets proofread many times, and sometimes the computer justification messes things up, and we omitted Michael Yim's name from the bulletin, and so pencil that in or write it down in ink, so I apologize for that, Michael, but those things happen. The back of the alphabet, we sometimes get dropped off a time or two, so I apologize for that. But let me, as we come to our look at the scripture, let's pray and seek God's guidance for it. Pray with me. Dear God, we thank you for your word, for your truth that speaks to us in so many ways. As I open up and share your word and truth, that it would be your truth. Anything that I would share that is not that would be quickly forgotten. We thank you for the promise and the presence of your Holy Spirit with us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Friday night was a wonderful night to hear the faith statements of so many of our students, hearing about the way that they had experienced Jesus Christ in a personal way, and had made that choice to decide to have him as their Lord and Savior. It was an exciting time to be together here. And they made a choice over the past 13 months to pursue, to understand, and to see what it means to follow Christ, and then to make that final decision of making their public affirmation of faith, as they did here this morning also. It's not much different, really. I'm not sure if they had a formal service for the early Christians, because they had to choose, are they going to continue to follow the ways of Judaism that had been around for 4,000 years, or were they going to follow Christ? Were they going to be Christians? And it wasn't that easy. The people who were choosing to follow Christ were oftentimes kicked out of the temple. They were arrested and persecuted. It's pretty tough times to follow Jesus Christ. But this pastor who writes the book of Hebrews is writing to these people saying, are you going to make a decision? You got to make a choice of either following Jesus or following the ways of Judaism. And he goes throughout Hebrews to show the benefits, the reality of the freedom of living in the grace of Jesus Christ. So as we look at the scripture and hear this word that a pastor gives for the people 2,000 years ago, it's also relevant for us. And as the pastor that wrote this did it out of love, I share this too, realizing that not just all of us are in need of correction. All of us are in need of examining our lives and what the scripture says. I am going to be reading from the New International, or from the Message, which has a little bit more contemporary version and some words that I really like and I think are very telling for what the author was trying to get across to us. So the word of the Lord from Hebrews says, I have a lot more to say about this, but it's hard to get it across to you since you've picked up this bad habit of not listening. We've all been on the other end of those kinds of conversations. By this time, you ought to be teachers yourselves. Yet here I find you in need of someone to sit down with you and go over the basics of God again. Starting from square one, baby's milk, when you should be eating on solid food long ago. Milk is for beginners, inexperienced in God's ways. Solid food is for the mature who have some practice in telling right from wrong. So come on, let's leave the preschool finger-painting exercises on Christ and get on with the grand work of art. Grow up in Christ. The basic foundational truths are in place. Turning your back on salvation by self-help and turning your trust toward God. Baptismal instructions, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment, God helping us. We'll stay true to all of that, but there's so much more. Let's get on with it. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. This pastor talks about that these followers of Christ are needing milk. Milk is that thing that we all need daily, but when we're infants, we can't handle the meat. We can't handle the vegetables. Our bodies would reject that. In our lives and our spiritual understanding, there's times where we need to know the basics. We need to have that foundation that there is a God who loves us, and that is true no matter how old we are, no matter how long we've been walking with the Lord. But the reality is that there are times that we sometimes need to grow beyond some of those basics. Yesterday at the Feed My Starving Children, they showed us some pictures of a baby who was, or a child who was malnourished. And you could see their ribs and just the inevitable death that would come if they didn't receive the nourishment. And then you see the picture of those children a few months later where they're healthy and smiling. And what a difference having that nourishing milk needs makes a difference on our bodies physically. Well, the reality is our spiritual bodies are the same way. We need to be fed. We need to be nourished. But sometimes we're afraid to dig a little deeper because we like the taste of milk. We like the comfort of where we are. You know, and if I read a little bit more in Scripture, there might be some things that I realize I'm not doing quite right. So it's better just to be ignorant of that. There's a video that I'm going to share with you that are on email that's a great video, and it's called, Is Our Faith Still in Kindergarten? I've shared it with a new confirmation class, with a new members class, but it depicts a kindergarten classroom with all these children going through their daily routines, but amongst those small children is this 40-year-old, balding, overweight man who is a part of the class. He's going through, and it's amazing that he's able to, you know, block all their shots in basketball. He knows all the answers to everything because he's been in kindergarten for 30 years. And he says, you know, why do I want to go to first and second grade? I hear they have books there that don't have pictures. What happens if I get up there and I fail? Things are pretty good. If I get a real job, I might not be able to have nap time. There's some realities of kindergarten is safe. And so why go on? And some of us are like that in our spiritual faith. I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven. I know that Christmas and Easter are important. And other than that, I'm fine. And there's so much more for us to know. So much more for us to experience. Because the reality is that when we pursue more, we're doing what God and Jesus taught us to do. It says in other parts of Hebrews that the mark of true Christian maturity is the ability to distinguish right from wrong. When we're grounded, when we're pursuing, we're eating on the meat, the vegetables, the good stuff in our spiritual life, we're able to have that discernment. There's people that we know that we're able to say, man, they always just seem to know how to make the right decisions. It's not an accident. They're probably grounded in Scripture and seeing and understanding what Jesus teaches on a regular basis. But no matter how much we pursue, we forget. C.S. Lewis knows this, and he said one time that we have to be continually reminded of what we believe. And that's part of it, our forgetfulness, going on and being reminded of what we need. How often do we eat a regular physical meal on a daily basis? 3 times a day and a few snacks that we won't count for this sake this morning, but we're constantly feeding our body physically. But then how often are you feeding your spiritual body? How often are you filling your soul with God's word, God's truth, fellowship with Him? Maybe you think I'm doing good to come to church once a week and be able to worship, and that's great, but there's so many more opportunities. Or maybe it's just once a month, but maybe you're just eating the milk when there's so much more that's out there. A friend of mine, when I lived in Northern California, told me about someone that he knew that stopped going to a church. And they asked him, he said, why did you stop going to that particular church? It seems like a great place. He said, I wasn't being fed spiritually at that church. And my friend responded to him, he said, you know, children are fed, adults feed themselves. There's a reality to that. And I'm not saying that us as pastors, all right, you guys go and do it. It's a partnership. We've got to work together in fellowship and discipleship and teaching, and we want to be a part of that. It's the same thing that the teachers over at Henley School, and I'm sure all the schools in the area, tell us as parents, you need to have your sons or daughters reading 20 to 30 minutes every night. I don't know if you ever get parents that go talk to the principal and say, no, that's your job. You teach my child to read. No, we realize the importance of reinforcing that at home, and the same is true for our spiritual guidance, our spiritual growth. Church is not the only place that we can be spiritually fed, that we can grow. There's a sad statistic that I want to share with you because it's reality, and that is that according to researchers, 40 to 50% of high school students, once they graduate and go into college, will leave their faith. So you could take the bulletin, if this statistic is true, take the bulletin on the back page and cut off half those people and realize that into early adulthood, half of those people, half of the young people that are with us, won't be walking with the Lord. It's pretty bad because we forget. We get busy. We get other voices that are competing with the truth that we've heard, but are we reinforcing that truth that we know? There are so many demands on our time and attention. How do we go about doing this? How do we go about countering all these other voices that are vying for our time? I want to give you a few pieces of a prescription of some ideas, and some of you, as you hear this, are thinking, man, this is great. It reinforces my spiritual walk and my disciplines. And I hope that for many of you, that's the case. But I know even after walking with the Lord many years, there's always different things that I can find that help me to grow in my understanding. Something that was given to me a couple years ago, and some of you have seen if you've been a part of the Real World Parents seminar, is this thing called the Wisdom Deck. It's not a deck of playing cards, but it's a deck of proverbs. And each one of them you pull out, and it has a proverb with different ways that it applies to our lives. This one has Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. What we do with this at our house is it's in a drawer next to our kitchen, our dining room table, and we don't do it every night, but you know, one or two nights a week, we'll pull this out and have one of our sons grab one of the cards and read it and talk about it. How does that apply to your life? How does that apply on the playground? How does that apply when you're on the soccer field? Putting the Word of God in our minds. Because to take the Bible and try to say, all right, we're going to find this, it can be difficult. But to find God's truth on 55 cards is a great thing. You can also put it in your cup holder of your car, and while you're driving to hockey practice, wherever you're going, pull it out and say, here, grab one of these and read it, and let's see what God's speaking, what God's saying to us. Because we do have so many voices that are there. Something that I just started doing recently, my prayer life, I realized, was early in the morning, a quick time, sometimes in the middle of the day, and usually when I was heading to bed. And I missed that regular time. And my wife and I were missing that time together. And so we realized about 9:30 at night, kids are in bed, I'm at home, and we're both awake. So why not pray then? So every night at 9:30, my cell phone plays a song that reminds me to spend some time in prayer. Technology is a great thing to remind us, because we too oftentimes forget. There's many times that phone goes off and I think, who's calling me? Oh yeah, it's God, it's time to pray. So it's a great way. Just a couple other things. Technology is great. Devotionals that are available on email, Bible that you can get on your iPad or wherever you are. Another thing that's available here in our area is Christian music on the free public radios, K-Love, which is 96.7. This is the Word of God being sung to us on a regular basis. There are times that this summer that I was preparing a sermon thinking, what song connects that sermon? And I'd get in the car, turn on K-Love, and be like, ah, Dwayne, I found the song. And it's great to know the way that God can speak through the music. I want to give you a warning about K-Love right now. They're in their pledge drive. So a lot of time, right now, they go through it for a week or so where you'll hear asking for money. They don't always do that. It's only about twice a year. So Pastor Stewart sent me to something that only asked for money. No, that's part of it, but not the ongoing ministry. The last thing that we need to do as believers and to truly eat the meat, I think, is to experience Christ, to experience the fellowship of God. There's an author named John Westerhoff who wrote a book back in 1976 called Will Our Children Have Faith? And he says the insistence of teaching the Bible like a textbook in a schooling model may only end up turning religiously educated atheists. It's a sad reality that too often people know the facts of who Jesus is, but they haven't made that journey of understanding and experiencing Christ. The majority of the students who stood up here on Friday night and shared their faith statement had some story about a time at a summer camp, a time on a mission trip, or a time during a 30-hour famine, or some time where they had gotten away from the daily routine of life and experience a significant time in Christian community. That's when Jesus showed himself to them. I wish it was all of them saying it was the riveting class that Stuart taught in September or whatever, but I know that that's part of the foundation, but the reality is that we all need to experience who Jesus Christ is. Because there's great meat that we can consume. There's great meat that will nourish us. It says that when we understand, to truly understand something, when we read it, we'll remember 25% of what we read. When we teach something, we'll remember 80% of what we've taught. But if we want to really remember something, we've got to experience it. Because when we experience something, we remember it 100% of the time. Experiences for a long period of time give us the taste or a glimpse of the great banquet that we will all enjoy for eternity when we are with the Lord. But daily we can consume the richness of this meat that God has to offer us. The presence, the teaching, that we are strengthened by Jesus Christ and nourished in our difficult world. We need to be nourished as we daily follow and seek Jesus Christ in this tough time. Would you pray with me, please? Dear God, we do thank you for loving us. We thank you for sending your Holy Spirit. As we think about the world that we face tomorrow, the school, the office, the places that we'll be, it's tough. And so, Lord, help us to be sustained by the nourishment that you give to us. Help us to turn to your word. Help us to find those things in our lives and our rhythms that will help us to be fed by you daily. We ask all this in your Son's holy name. Amen.